This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It's Thursday, it's the 28th of March, 2024. And, you know, we've got so many emails. I think we should dive into that inbox again. Ready?
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
I tell you, I think we're going to get another email shortly. From you know who.
We were not going to do that again. And you made me do it. I had no choice there, Mr. F. He'd made me do it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's all on me. You had no agency in this whatsoever. You're a disgrace to yourself and humanity.
Oh, you're still going on with this. Very good. How are you, Stephen Scott?
My old horse thief. Yes, I'm good.
Wow, it's the end of the week nearly.
It is kind of the end of the week for us because, you know, shocking as this may be, folks, I know.
Breaking news.
This is the last show before Easter and we won't be back till Monday.
What about tomorrow? I'll be kicking around with nothing to do. This is strange.
Hang on, that didn't work the way I intended it to. We won't be back till Monday.
Oh, sorry. I didn't even notice.
No, you see, that was meant to come in, but it didn't. Slight slip of the...
The studio's working well still, then.
Oh, goodness. Don't even go there. I can't believe how much stuff I've had to throw away as a result of that move. It is ridiculous. Perfectly...
Well, you say that.
Well, was perfectly good working.
You throw it away... And then about 2 days later, you order it again from Amazon because you needed it.
Yeah, that's true. No, actually, do you know what? We made a couple of changes and, it just feels better. Feels nicer.
Good. I'm glad. As long as you're comfortable, Stephen, that's all I want.
It's all that matters, let's be honest. Look, shall we get into some emails? Because we have got a lot and we didn't get into many because of all the CSUN coverage and everything else that's been going on. So I think today we should get back into those emails. Ready? Are you ready to dive into those emails?
I'm not doing it again. I refuse.
Oh, you see that. But time to dive in. Whee! There you go.
Email. We get email.
We get your emails every day.
We're all going to get fired.
Here's your mail today.
Hey!
Mr. F stands for fired. It's going to be that one today. Okay, let's... and if you don't like this show, by the way, that means it will be a real Good Friday. You see what I did there? You see, I brought that
in. Oh, that was very good.
That was actually quite good, wasn't it? Why is that
music
going on?
Who wrote that for you?
Anyway, okay, let's get into the emails.
Turn it down.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Well done.
That's because the machine broke that controls the audio. That's
are so bad at this.
Honestly terrible at my job. Okay, Sharon got in touch. She wants to update us because remember we talked a while back about Blind Show Classic funding that was out of the States. You could get funding and you could also get access to internet. Free internet and free calls and stuff through an American organisation. Well, Sharon wants to update us on this.
Hello there. Just a heads up. The Blind Shell mobile programme is a promotional programme that is funded by Congress at this time. There is also an effort at this time by current consumers requesting Congress to continue to fund this service as part of other benefits you have already described. We can only hope, right? Sharon in Michigan.
Thank you, Sharon. Updating us there on the state of play with Blind Shell funding. So, yes... Yeah, it's not maybe forever, but then are these things ever forever? Let's be honest.
Well, the initiative to give people cheaper internet—I don't know if that's the same thing. I know that's having a few issues in the States at the minute, and there's concerns that it may not continue due to lack of funding. So, yes, I would look into it sooner than later.
It's a shame, isn't it? Because you think how useful that would be. And are you telling me that these big tech companies, these big carriers cannot fund that level of support? Are you kidding me? They just don't want to. That's what it is. They don't want to.
The thing is that the access to online services and the internet now is no longer a luxury as it used to be seen. It is an essential. It's a necessity. There's a lot of talk over here at the minute in the UK about how a lot of the doctor's surgeries to get an appointment to order prescriptions, you can't do it over the phone anymore. You need to do it online, either through the NHS app or something they call patches. And there's a lot of discussion saying, well, what if you haven't got access to the internet?
Exactly.
The case is that it's now become, it's a necessity to have internet access.
It's a topic we don't bring up a lot on this show, just because we don't, but I think it's an important topic we should definitely cover at some point. And that is what they call the digital divide, right? They call it that because there are many people who just will never be able to access, will never be able to access technology. Even a broadband line may even lose access to services because, I mean, you know, think about the amount of phone lines that are changing from the old copper system to new digital lines based on internet cables. So if you don't have an internet connection, I'm sorry, I keep hitting my microphone. I don't quite know why. I'm so annoyed today. This is a stupid place. Why did I move this room around? This is ridiculous.
It's working well. No one's noticed.
It's not working. It's terrible. Fine. I'm changing it back at the weekend. That's what I'm doing all weekend.
Happy Easter.
But honestly, I think this is the problem, right? So you've got so many people who are cut off and could inadvertently, by, you know, progress, be cut off further, especially when it comes to phone lines. You know, that's a...
It's easy. It's easy. Just don't make it so inflexible that there's only ever one way to do anything.
You're inflexible.
Yes, I am. Thank you, arthritis. I actually like the online booking services and doing prescriptions because it means I don't have to wait on the phone for 3 hours listening to terrible music, right? So I prefer it, but I can totally understand how other people may not want to do that.
It's not want, though. It's can't in some cases. There are people who might not be able to do it. That's the point.
True.
I can hear Greg in Pennsylvania tapping on his keyboard right now, agreeing with me for the first time ever.
but
that day's not happening.
There's also arguments that not everyone's got a telephone, even now, not everyone's got a telephone, right? No. So even telephone service, so there's always some sort of line in the sand where you can't please everybody. But I just don't think it should be, you can only do it this way and that is it. Because you hear that a lot, and a lot of the time that isn't true. And I've got to say, we have got a bit of a gift in the fact that there's so many times where they say, no, you got to do it this way. And they say, actually, I can't. I'm blind. And it's all of a sudden, oh, yeah, okay, well, we can do that for you here. It's like, nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
But sometimes that goes against some people's. I can imagine the people who it will annoy, because there's always the same people who get annoyed about this kind of thing by saying, look, I want to do it myself. That's the point. I want to be able to do this myself. I've got to say, I am more on the side of, and you know this of me, I'm very much of the side of that. I'm of the dependence is part of independence. I think that's important.
I just want an easy life. And if it means that someone has to do something for me, then absolutely fine. I don't care. Yeah.
Sharon, thanks for the update. Dave emailed in to talk about key safes and sunglasses. There's an interesting mix of topics.
Hello, Steve and Sean. I listened to your podcast on Thursday and you were talking about the problem with your new front door. You were saying you have to use a key to open the door, but have you thought that if you open the door with the key and you leave the key in the lock and the front door closes, it doesn't matter whether you've got a spare key at your mother's, you still won't be able to get in because the key would be in the lock on the other side of the door. So that means you cannot put a key in the lock on the other side of the door. However, if you get over that problem of leaving the keys in the door and the door has no keys in it and it does close, have you thought about treating yourself to a key safe, which can be attached to your outside wall on your property, and you can store your keys to the front door in it? I've just had a panic system installed in my mother's property. She's 97 years old and she wears a button around her neck. She has a speaker in the front room and on her landing by her front door. We have had a key safe installed by a local council. It cost £110.48, but I think you can buy them and have somebody else install them for a lot cheaper than that. Okay, the safe is a box, which is screwed to the wall outside, and on the box it has a keypad with 1 to 0 numbers on it. What you do is you insert a code into the box of 4 numbers and then you put your spare keys in the box, close it, and only the people that know the code number can then open the box and get the keys out. After 97 years, my mother has already got used to closing her front door and not leaving her key in the door. So if she can do it at that age, I'm sure you are still a young man and you would be able to use that as well. And now to sunglasses. I am a totally blind person because of macular degeneration, which I've had for 69 years now, as it was a gene problem, meaning I had a dodgy gene in my body, which caused macular degeneration to come on at the age of 7. I've never thought about the way my eyes look, as if I'm looking in the direction of somebody I am talking to, it's the last thing on my mind, so I don't worry about wearing sunglasses. However, even if I had to wear them, I can't because the arms of the sunglasses that tuck on my ears touch a certain nerve, which causes me to have headaches within 10 minutes of me placing them on my head. I also wear hearing aids because of my age and my past life of being a disc jockey, wearing earphones a lot. So this means another reason why I cannot wear sunglasses. All I make sure is that I do not look in the direction of the sun because of not being able to see it. It could burn the back of my eyes without me realising, apart from the pain. Question: did Sean buy himself one of those pint mugs with a flat bottom on it so he doesn't spill any liquids anymore? I still haven't spilt a cup of tea or anything else in my pint cup since I wrote the previous email to you months ago. You two keep up the good work. Excellent show. Just about putting up with your banter, but however, can't stop listening every week. You take care. Best wishes from Blind Dave in Barkingside, Ilford, Essex.
Thank you, Blind Dave. I'm glad you can put up just about with us. I have to be honest, my wife says exactly the same thing.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. Family members, friends, listeners, just
mother,
about.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I've got to say, no, I haven't bought the pint pot anti-spill device. I forgot all about it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, disgrace to humanity, as I said before. Yes. See previous answer.
Okay, very, very sorry.
Yeah, on the KeySafe thing, a good idea. I have actually had this problem already where I left the keys in the front door and then realised I couldn't get back out of the house to get the keys because the other doors were locked. So I couldn't go out and the keys were in the front of the house. So I couldn't get out. So I had to wait. Thank goodness I had ordered from Amazon. Thank goodness I'd ordered a parcel from
Amazon. God bless you, Amazon.
A guy comes to the door and I'm leaning out the window saying, "You've got to use the keys." And, you know, he starts banging on the door. And I'm like, "Well, you're going to break my new door." I kind of wish he had, if I'm honest, because I've been sick of that door.
How did you lock yourself in the house?
Because I left the keys in the door.
And leaving the keys outside. Yeah, but how did you lock the door if the keys were in the door on the outside?
You can't. That's the point with this door. You can't lock it. As soon as you close it, it's locked. That's
it. Oh, what, from the inside? It's got a handle on the inside, right?
No, there's no handle. That's the problem. The only way to open the door is with the key. So if you've left the key in the front door and then you close the door or the wind grabs it and it slams shut, you're locked in.
You've bought a terrible, terrible front door there, Stephen Scott.
I've bought the most secure door on earth. Even I can't get into my own house.
Prison of your own making. What else was there? Sunglasses. you don't really have much choice there. Hearing aids plus the pain of the arms of the sunglasses rubbing against your head. You're sort of stuck there, really. I can't think of a solution for that.
Dave, thank you so much for your message and I hope you can bear with us.
Yes.
Just generally. Okay, on to Eleanor, who's left us this voicemail. Lovely to hear from Eleanor.
Hi, guys, it's Eleanor. When I was at school in the 50s and 60s, there was no choice. Everyone went to specialist school. One advantage was that it was a level playing field. We were all in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest advantage was that whether you were partially sighted or totally blind, everyone learned Braille. I firmly believe that every child with a visual impairment should learn Braille.
Yeah, well, you know my view on this, Eleanor. 100% agree.
Now, I would like to join in the fun.
Okay.
And play you my talking clock, which I've had for many years, long before smart speakers were invented. I hope this comes over the phone okay.
Okay.
Bye for now.
I'm sorry, was that a baby talking clock? That sounded so young.
I laugh because I had that clock. That's a watch, isn't it, Eleanor? I thought that was a watch because I'm sure I had that watch. Yeah.
That sounds, well, they all sound pretty much the same, don't they? The talking pyramid. Do you remember that?
Hang on.
Oh, well. When I say.
This is quality talking clock.
7:07 PM.
Listen to that. How good is that?
It's like a white noise machine. That is awful. I was recorded in a washing machine. Terrible. terrible front door, terrible talking clock.
Yeah, and on the subject of schooling, which we talked about a while ago, this is how behind we are with some of these emails.
Sorry.
I do apologise. The whole mainstream thing, that's interesting, Eleanor. I didn't realise that children who are low vision as well were learning Braille then. So That is interesting. It's also good to hear. But sadly, it's not happening today. Not as much.
Why do you say that? But as Eleanor said,
everyone I talk to says, yes, it's happening. And then when you talk to actual teachers of visually impaired children, they say, no, it's not.
I'm not arguing.
Or you hear from people like E.T. over there.
E.T., yes, the original E.T.
The original E.T.
What I'm saying is that Eleanor said that there was no choice in the matter. If you were visually impaired or blind, you went to special school. There was no choice. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not.
Well, controversially, I think it was.
Stephen Scott.
You know what? I think integration is a great thing. Of course it is. But not... what I don't want, and this is just me, right? But I don't want a world where we're integrating children so that the children who are disabled can be seen by the sighted non-disabled children. But that comes at a cost to the disabled child's education.
Well, and there's also the argument that it may come at a cost to the non-disabled people as well. Student size.
I don't think so. I don't. Well, I mean, I know you're going with that, but yes. I don't know. I think that there's...
I've heard that argument many times.
But there's less funding and less resources for teachers for children, let's say visually impaired children. Let's not get into too much detail about other disabilities because I just don't know the answer to that. But for children who are visually impaired, I would say that there's less resources every year into this. And that seems to be a fairly universal problem.
Yeah.
So the idea that those children are benefiting from that integration, I don't know. I don't know if that's the... I'd much rather a child... I mean, I certainly feel if I had gone to a specialist school, exactly as you said, Eleanor, and it's pretty much echoed every single time I've had a conversation with someone who went to school in, say, the 60s or the 70s, who said, we were on a level playing field. I've heard that line a lot from people who said, we were on a level playing field and we had to compete with each other. Whereas I don't know if there's as much of this competition. You know, there was a guy, a lovely guy, he passed recently, Mike Townsend, and I mention him because he passed recently. He was a wonderful guy. I interviewed him many times. I had the joy of him being on my daily show on the RNIB years ago. And he told me of a time he'd gone to a school, and it was a school which had a visual impairment department in it, something similar to what I went to. And there was a child there, she was 8 years old and she was learning Braille. And she was being shown, the teacher of the visually impaired children was showing Mike around and saying, hey, you know, this is the child's name and, you know, the child is learning Braille. And she asked the child to read a line of Braille. Can you just read this line?
Yeah.
And it was something like, you know, the cat sat on the mat, read like that. And Mike didn't say anything to the girl. He said, that's great. Well done. That's amazing. But when he spoke to the teacher privately, he said to me, I had to say to her, that child's not reading as fast as that child should be. At that stage, the child should be reading much faster than that. Her peers will be. And so as a result, you know, the teacher was, oh, but it's amazing. She can read it. She can read the Braille. Sorry, but that's not good enough at that stage as far as he was concerned. And it did, in my mind, open up an interesting question about the quality of the education some of the kids who are blind are getting.
Well, that's interesting because I was going to make exactly the same argument about specialist schools. When you say we're on a level playing field, but then what's the expectations? Particularly, I'm maybe this is some sort of bias on my point. When I think back to the 50s and 60s, I'm thinking, what are the expectations of people that
attend? I think they're a lot higher.
Do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You may be absolutely right. I don't know.
Do you know why? Do you know why I say that? Because I look at the kind of jobs that blind people did then compared to now, or at least have the opportunity to do. I'm not saying that this is not universal. Of course, there's always differences. There's always different areas, different parts of the world have different approaches. But I think back to people who grew up and who were, say, going to school in the 60s and 70s. I think they had a very different education and a much better education, I would argue, because they had to compete against each other. They didn't have to compete against a sighted child who could sight read something. And they were being compared by, you know, reading Braille, with the argument being, well, you know, they're reading Braille, so, you know, it will take them longer because it's harder to learn. That wasn't the standard that was set.
Yeah, maybe.
The standard was, well, Joe over there is reading 100 words a minute. You know, what are you doing? You know, and that was it. That was that to me was, and I'm just going by what people told me who went to school at those times.
Yeah. No, you may be absolutely right. I mean, we are concentrating on reading and writing here than other things, but I mean, arguably, that's the foundation of everything anyway, so.
Well, it's the foundation of getting a good job.
Yeah. Or so, further education, at least.
Or further education, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you tell me. You tell me, because you went to, I didn't have the experience, but you had the experience of going to that college for blind people.
Yes. Yes, I did. Well, I'll tell you how it was for me. So until I was 16, I went through education in mainstream schools. But as a RP-er, you know, with retinitis pigmentosa, while I was at mainstream education, although my eyesight was poor, I didn't really myself consider it a massive hindrance. I couldn't really see the blackboard or whatever else, but I didn't really see it as a huge obstacle.
No, I know, but I'm asking, what about the education experience? Was there anybody? You were in that college.
Yes.
What was it called again? RNC, wasn't it?
RNC Hereford. Hello, Herefordders. Yeah. How you doing, RNCers?
So you went there, and you were amongst your peers. And
yes.
You've talked about this on the show, your experience yes. there, right? But did you feel like you were not just amongst your peers, but you were also competing a little bit? That it wasn't a case of, you know, anything you achieved was just great. It was, you know, to have someone else who might come over and say, yeah, you know, that's okay, you're doing well at that. But, you know, him over there or her over there, she's doing way better than you are. Did that happen? Mm. Yeah, I just mean, did you feel... like being amongst your peers is one thing, but then almost being inspired a little bit to do more?
You know what? Yeah, I think it did remove that low expectation that I felt in mainstream school.
That's what I'm getting at.
No, yeah. I think you've got a point there. I mean, nothing came from it because as I felt so comfortable there, I realised that actually I wasn't anything unique or weird, as my perspective was at the time. I just, I enjoyed myself. Like any other student. So I didn't do actually much work there at all. I'm terrible. But no, you're right, actually. You're right. That low expectation did seem to lift there. So yeah, you have got a point. Well done.
Thank you, Eleanor. Stirring up some interesting conversation, as you always do. It's also nice to hear from you. Dennis has been in touch and wants to talk about a range of different topics.
Hello, Double Tappers. This is Dennis, writing from Nairobi in Kenya. I listen to your show and podcast. Without a doubt, this is a very informative show and at the same time very, very entertaining in this part of the world where such shows are unheard of in local media. Thanks to podcast technology, we can now actually get quality content like this. Let me delve into my small issues.
Quality.
1. How do you read sensitive content on Twitter? 2. My second issue is on e-papers. Most newspapers in Kenya are now produced digitally in the form of e-papers, but for me, as a totally blind person using screen readers, the papers are very inaccessible. Is there any application that I can use to read the content provided in such formats? I've tried Voice Dream Reader and Envision apps, but don't seem to get anywhere. 3. My last problem for now is that my voiceover does not read the word R, even when I am trying to navigate my text by word. How do I sort this? I'm waiting for your valid feedback.
Well, you might be waiting a while, Dennis. There's a lot in there, and I'm not entirely sure about a lot of that. I maybe need to come back to you with a few questions. So yes. when you talk about Twitter and reading sensitive content, I'd like to know more about what you mean by that. I'm not entirely sure what that means.
I'm pretty sure every now and again when I was on Twitter, I used to see something, this content may not be appropriate, steady. It wasn't anything I was going to specifically. But I don't think you had to double tap on it or something, but I could be getting mixed up with Facebook. But
there was, I know on Mastodon, there can be content that can be hidden from view. You can add a content warning and you can actually hide the content of it. I have a view that if someone thinks I'm going to be triggered by something, I'm just not going to read it because I probably will be. But maybe not in the way they're thinking I'll be triggered. So it's best just to leave it alone. as for Twitter sensitive content, I think that's all content on Twitter, isn't it? Isn't every tweet sensitive content? Because X. I'll tell you something, all the people on it certainly are.
I would have a look through the settings in the Twitter app or the X app to see if there's an option there to not restrict sensitive content anyway. That's the first place I would look. But otherwise, it's usually a case of either double tapping on the post itself to activate it to lift the sensitivity banner or block. But I'm not sure how accessible that is anymore with the voiceover. Mm. So we will have to come back to you on that one.
You see, when you fire the entire accessibility team,
yes,
it does occasionally create a problem. But Elon doesn't care. As for newspapers, now you say e-papers. I'm guessing you're talking about online editions of newspapers. You know what? I have to tell you, I'm a little bit with you on this, Dennis. I struggle to read anything online these days because there's just so much garbage on these sites. You know, I'm quite lucky, and we're quite lucky here in the UK, and it may be something available internationally. I don't know. I know there are iterations of it around the world. But what I would be keen to know is if it existed with you in Nairobi. We have what's called RNIB Newsagent. It's also known as NFB Newsline in the States. And I think there's a Canadian edition of, or version of that as well, which basically allows you access to the newspapers in e-text format, which is way more easier to navigate. You can use it in, you can read it in HTML, or you can read it a text reader, DAISY, as well. But it's just plain text, and you're able to very easily read the newspapers. But online newspapers are tricky. Online magazines are tricky because there is so much rubbish on the screen. If you're using a PC, you could use Edge and use the, is it Immersive Reader? Is that what they call it over there on the PC?
Yes.
Reading mode is, what do you call it on the Safari?
Reader mode. It is Reader View,
it's,
I think.
Just, it's something like that, yeah. And you can use that as well. And it will strip off all the images. It will take away a lot of the nonsense. But it's not all perfect. It's not always perfect. Sometimes
it's not always available either.
And it's not always available. And sometimes it will just take away the article as well. So it's not ideal.
Half the article. The problem is, as well, that e-newspapers is such a wide term. It could be a case of just a website. Or it could be a case of a service you're subscribed to that maybe send you an actual file. Maybe it's a PDF. Maybe it's something else. So it's a little bit difficult. But as you mentioned, because I was going to suggest something like VoiceDream Reader, but as you say, you've tried that already. So it does sound like you're actually accessing a file rather than a site or something. Another one that's very good is Dolphin Easy Reader. So I would, that's free as well. So I would suggest you give that one a try and see if you have any more luck with that. But if you want to get back to us with a bit more information about the actual files you're trying to download, if they are files or if it's a website, then maybe we can help a little bit more.
And why is this phone not reading the word R?
Now, this one has got me stumped. The first thing I've got to say is just try a different voice. Have you tried a different voice and does the problem persist? If it does, then maybe it's in the pronunciation settings in accessibility of the iPhone. But that is a very strange one. Now, you mentioned that it doesn't read it out even when you navigate by word. What if you navigate by character? But does it read out R then? That one's got me stumped as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, we look forward to your response email, Dennis. Do get back in touch and let us know. Stick around. We've more emails to get through on today's show. Stick around. It's Double Tap.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap on Air and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. Call the Double Tappers now, 1-877-803-4567, or email us, feedback@doubletaponair.com.
Okay, let's get back to the emails then, and let's hear from Stan.
Greetings, Stephen and Sean. This is Stan Warren Luttrell, and I wanted to mention a couple of things concerning the Google thing and Envision glasses, some of the things that you have mentioned. Now, I do have to point out that there is a subscription model already in place where a person can buy, well, not buy, but you can subscribe to the Envision glasses. Now, the problem with that, it's well over $100 a month. And if you have the Envision app on your phone, and like me, I paid for a lifetime subscription, so I have access to the Envision app, and people now have the app, and it's absolutely free to have. All you need to do is download it and use it. But in my case, I have found Seeing AI to work a lot better for me than the Envision app does. And it doesn't mean that it won't be worth having for the future, but I don't find it, for my use case, to be viable. And secondly, the pricing of the Envision glasses is out of reach for most blind people. Now, I could see, like, the glasses that you have, Stephen, sunglasses or Ray-Ban with Facebook, I see that as a more viable solution. Now, they can do something with that, but, I mean, it's like buying the Apple Vision Pro. I'm not going to pay over $3,000, no matter how good the Envision glasses supposedly are. I'm not going to buy a pig in a poke, and I just am not going to do it. But I do have to also say a big thank you, Sean, because I have put off using the camera. Now, I have an i15 Pro Max that I'm paying my carrier, paying down, so I will buy it over time. But I followed the instructions that you gave one of the listeners, and I've been taking some pictures, and I've been having a great time and posting them on Facebook where I reside much of my time, at least using the camera in ways that I've never used the camera before. And it is all thanks to you, Sean. You deserve a big round of applause by some of us who really put off using the camera. By the way, while I was talking to the Apple accessibility team, I happened to mention the suggestion that Sean gave about taking pictures, and I have posted some of my pictures that have turned out very well according to sites that have looked at the pictures. Anyway, and they really appreciated me telling them about this, because they like it when blind people do things like take pictures, blind or visually impaired people. But anyway, enough of my babbling, and keep up the awesome work. You folks do an awesome job. I found your podcast to be very informative, and I thought that I would chime in. Anyway, take care and have an awesome day.
Can I just ask a question? Are we playing out the right messages here? Because these feel like messages for another show. Is there some other show on AMI that's doing technology at the moment, Sean?
That's doing a good job. But yes, it feels like we're getting someone else's inbox.
Quality, informative. These are not words I associate with Double Tap. And I host it. I don't get it. But
thank you, Stan.
Thank you, Stan. That means a lot. It really does.
And thank you for the shout out about the tip with the camera. And that was, of course, I'll say it again, just use the volume down button. Open your camera app and just use the volume down button. Just press it once to take a picture, or press and hold to take a video. It makes it so much easier to use. And yeah, I'm glad you found it useful. and the subscription model and the usefulness of wearables. Yeah, that's a conversation that's going to go on and on. And interestingly enough, though, talking about subscription and talking about the Voice Dream Reader app, there has been a lot of talk in the community about that recently because that is moved to a subscription model from the 1st of May. And even if you've bought it in the past, you are now going to have to subscribe to it. So,
okay.
Yes, there's a bit of a backlash over that. I'm not sure how I feel about it. We talked about it before about how much, you know, developers need to be supported and to keep apps updated and development costs. But if you've already bought it for a lifetime one-off fee, can they actually go back and just say, no, now it's all subscription? Well, they are doing.
Yeah, well, hang on. I mean, it's not Winston Chen's app anymore, is it? It's not. No longer there. So I guess it's a new company, new broom and all that. But I wonder if the smarter move would have been to redesign it. Is it still called VD, by the way? Is that still what it's called?
Oh, I hope not, but probably.
I remember that was kind of unnerving. Didn't like the idea of having that, you know. Oh, my VD scanner is around.
Please stop.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, no thanks.
But something you should be aware of if you use
change
it.
Change the name and I'll pay for it. I'll pay for the change of the name. How about that?
From the 1st of May, if you don't subscribe, you won't be able to add any new documents to it. So add everything now if you're not going to subscribe.
Such a shame the way that's gone. It was a very popular app and I remember a lot of people loved it. Still do. I'll be interested to hear your take on that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you can email us and tell us your thoughts on that one. Let's move on to, and thank you, Stan. I appreciate all of that. Your point, I mean, I'm going to come back to this topic of taking pictures, actually, because that's a topic I want to discuss in the future. My question being, and maybe you can chime in already on this, why are blind people so keen on taking pictures? I don't get it. I've never done it. I've never really bothered with taking pictures. And I know I'm not alone in this.
No.
It's maybe just it's a me thing. I don't know. I will say, though, since the advent of AI and image description, I can see why more people are interested, or at least are more interested in viewing images. I used to avoid images like the plague because you'd have either terrible alt text or it was just image all the time. I don't know. I can get the desire to seek out images, to know what's an image, but the fact to take them as well, is this what AI is doing? Is it kind of, in a way, opening up this world to us? Because look, okay, taking pictures is one thing, right? If you're how many times has someone in a family taken a picture and, you know, you sit and look at it later or whatever? In a blind family, if it's a blind person doing that, they probably wouldn't do it. Or they wouldn't even be able to share in the joy of the picture that was just taken, you know? But being able to do that now, I think there's a strange resurgence. Or not yeah. resurgence. I think there's just an interest generally growing in us getting involved in images. It's a good thing. It's a really nice thing. I kind of wonder where
perhaps
people
we missed
are
the
on
boat
that.
On that. I just never got into taking photos or looking through photos because it just didn't give me anything. So perhaps that's just baked into me now, baked into my personality. But thanks but
do,
to.
Do you or Sarah take pictures?
No, never. Of course not. No, why would we?
Yeah, you say of course not, right? But people are doing it now. People are getting into it again. So what's that about? Is
social
that because
media?
They can? Well, yeah, but it's also is it? Well, actually, yeah. Is it that? Is it the ability to not only share an image, but with the tools you've got in smartphones now to take images, Google's guided frame and Apple's got VoiceOver guiding you to take pictures as well.
Yeah.
Does it? I mean, although that's been there for years, and I haven't heard as much excitement about pictures. I think the ability to interrogate the picture. You know, you could take a picture before, but you'd really no idea what you'd taken. Now
you
can
check. Do you
want to
take a picture of something? If you take a picture of your own family, would you want to? Would a AI description of that be enough? Would that still bring the same amount of? I don't know. I'd rather take a voice memo. Simple as that.
Strangely, I've taken more pictures with my Ray-Ban glasses than I've ever taken.
Well, yeah, going back to Stan's email, maybe it's just a case of, you know, how convenient is it to do it? Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe a good point.
Well, it's convenience because you can just click the button and the picture's taken. That's true. But it's also because I know where I'm looking is where yeah. I want the picture to be taken. So if a bunch of people are sitting in front of me and they say, geez, I know I'm looking at them and I can take the picture. So I can take the picture as well, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Not always left to someone else.
True. Yeah, it's an interesting point.
Yeah. Discussion. Discuss. Is that how you do it?
All right,
discuss.
Sir.
Go off and discuss.
On an essay on my desk by 9 a.m. Okay. Calm down.
Right, let's move on. Thank you, Stan. Ronnie gets in touch regarding our assistance experience at Vienna.
Hey, guys. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is.
Yeah, whatever it is.
When you guys went to Vienna, you chose assistance right from the get-go, period. Did that work out with a cost, or is it a free service? Do you have to supply any ID or blind player card?
Blind player card?
How do I get one?
A blind card.
The blind joker. Okay.
We often talk about the blind card, but I don't think there is actually a blind card. I mean, I've always wanted to have one in my back pocket just for a joke, just to sort of occasionally pull out my blind card.
I don't have to. I'm blind.
Yeah. Well, there's that as well. Yeah. So, okay. Well, you don't pay for assistance. No. So flying from Glasgow as we did, and then we flew back to Manchester, we don't expect any payment to be made for that service at all. So no, someone is made available to help you to get through the airport, to get to the gate, to get onto the plane, and that's it. And those people are paid by the airline to do that. They're sometimes paid by the airline, sometimes paid by the airport. But yeah, ultimately it's a free service. Is this not available in the States? Because I hear some American friends of mine are a bit confused by all of this assistance, especially at train stations.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if it's as available in the US as it is here. Because here in the UK and in Europe, I've been to Canada, US, I've had the experience there as well. So it's not unique. I mean, it is available. Well,
I would expect it more in airports and things. And as you said, definitely not a paid for service. Even if you don't book it beforehand or let them know. I mean, you know, you can just turn up and say, I need assistance. Now, you may not get it straight away.
Well, we made a right dog's dinner of that anyway, because we'd booked our flights, and then we didn't book and change the assistant. There's probably an assistant still walking around trying to find us from that last flight we cancelled.
But I mean, it's something that should be made available for people that have needs more assistance. It's something that definitely should be there. So definitely nothing you need to pay. As for if you need to book it in advance, ideally you should. But as I said, I don't think you know, it's not a necessity, but then you may be waiting until an assistant becomes available.
You know, we're going to be talking next week on YouTube. We've recorded a batch of videos. We're going to be putting them out in the next week or so. And one of the topics we're discussing is, you know, what do we want from our mobility aids? What do we want them to be? I'm just thinking as you were talking there, you know, wouldn't it be so cool? I'm thinking kind of like a guidance type thing or a robot that could take you through an airport. Now, I know you can say, well, yeah, you could use Aira and you could use various other things, even Good Maps, for example. You could maybe use that to move around an airport. Yeah, I get all that. But I'm thinking more if you wanted something or someone with you. I just personally, as much as I love assistance, there are times it really annoys me. Because as much as I love it and it's great and it is totally, you know, some cases you couldn't do the journey without it, and it does relieve a lot of stress, it's also kind of annoying because it's a human being. And that human being has to not just serve you and take you from place to place. They've also got to go and run around and get other people. So, and I feel that it's interesting because it is a free service, but I kind of sometimes wish there was like an assistance plus that I could pay for to say, could you just stay with me for an hour, you know, from here? Because I want to go to the shop, or I want to go wander around duty free, or I want to go for a bite to eat, you know, whatever it is. And I feel every time I go to an airport, I feel like I'm demanding someone's time and they just don't have enough of it, which is true because they don't. But I kind of wish I could just pay something to get that, or, you know, because maybe I'm looking for a different service. I don't know. It's just,
I know exactly what you mean.
Personal shopper, you know, it's different. It's like an assistant versus a personal shopper.
Yeah.
Right? Personal shopper's there for you to go around the shop, to pick what you want, to take the time. They don't have the time to do that. It's no fault of theirs.
Nope.
But it is irritating for me as a consumer because I don't get the chance to really experience the airport. I just go right past all that stuff, straight to a gate. On one occasion, I was coming back. I arrived at Montreal Airport and I didn't realize how quick it was for me to get through security to the gate. And I sat there for 2 hours, having passed a multitude of stores, cafes, restaurants. And by the time we got to the gate, that part of the airport was secluded. There was nothing else there.
Yeah.
So I sat there for 2 hours and just thinking, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if I dared to move, someone would come along and grab me and say, oh, no, you can't move from there because they won't find you again. And,
park you up. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm a human as well, right? Let's not forget
that. No, it's true. I think you've got a point there. It's just you don't want to feel like you're taking away from another person who needs assistance. But at the same time, you feel guilty. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. I would say give them a ring if you want to find out more about assistance, but it's definitely something that should always be available to you.
There's an app as well you can download. It's worldwide and it's called PRM Assist for airport assistance.
Oh, is that worldwide? I didn't know.
That's worldwide. So anywhere in the world, any airport you go to, you can use the PRM Assist app and it will contact your local airport, the airport you're heading to, and it will set up all the assistance for you.
That was great. That was very good.
It was. I mean, if we just booked the right flights and the right assistance.
Yeah, I mean,
flights,
we mucked it up.
Been fine.
It was totally accessible and it was a really good experience to use because you told me to get that because I was thinking, what, you need to book assistance? Because every other time I've just turned up.
But, and also in the UK, and this is very UK specific, so I apologize, Mr. F, but you know this one is good to know about. In the UK, there is an app called Passenger Assistance, and that is for train assistance. So you can book that. I have found that invaluable when I travel. Now, some people, you know, have issues and they're definitely, it's not perfect on any level. I admit that. But I've got to say, personal experience, it is a lifesaver because you get your email saying, yes, your assistance is booked. When you turn up at that train station, they're waiting for you. It's a really, really good service. So that's in the UK. I don't know if there's others that exist. If there's equivalents in the US or in Canada or in other parts of the world, get in touch and tell us because we can share the information with other people. Let's move on. Thank you, Ronnie. Great question or great query, I guess, because it's kind of stirred up all that, which is brilliant. Sandra gets in touch following our conversation on canes.
Hi, Stephen and Sean. I was very interested in your discussion about long canes yesterday. Have you heard of the non-jab cane? When you hit something solid, the cane handle recoils 5 inches automatically before returning to normal. No more jabs in the chest. The cane comes in either 4 or 5-piece cane from RNIB and it costs £65. I am using the above cane. It's great. Hope this information is helpful. Sandra in Bristol.
Thank you, Sandra. There you go, Sean. That's the cane you need.
In Bristol? Ah, amazing.
The cane is in Bristol because it's with Sandra, but
yes.
There are other canes available not in Bristol.
Just saying, that's my hometown. Well, I used to be.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Well, tell you what, why don't I come in tomorrow with an atlas and start reading from A to Z and you can cheer various countries.
I'm just saying, hooray for Bristol. Now, that's where I get my accent from. Now, no jab. Everyone loves this cane. Let me ask you something. Am I doing something wrong? Because my cane doesn't go in front of my body.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong.
Okay, thank you. That's all I needed to know. No training ever. Well, it's just to the side of me. So if it jabs, then my arm just goes back past my hip.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong. So you can also get it in Canada. You can get it from Canadian Assistive Technology, which is $104 Canadian if you want to buy it from there. Canadian Assistive Technology is the place to go. There may be other places as well. I even see it on Amazon.ca, which is kind of interesting as well. You could buy it from there. And also Ambutec themselves, if you're outside of Canada or outside of the UK, Ambutec directly in the States is where you'll get it. So you can access it. Isn't Ambutec a Canadian company? I think they may well be.
I thought it was.
So you can get it from Ambutec, Canadian Assistive Technology, RNIB.
Anywhere you get good canes. Just like
anywhere you get good canes and bad canes. Exactly.
No jab.
Speaking of which, Pete has a comment on the no jab.
Hi, guys. Just wanted to pass on a few bits of info whilst I think of them. Sean, if you are looking to invest in a new cane, I would recommend the Ambutec no jab cane from the RNIB. It's lightweight due to its graphite frame, but the USP is the shock-absorbing handle, so if the tip gets stuck in a crack, or say perhaps under a fridge as you are walking past, the handle compresses in about 5 inches, so you don't get jabbed in the stomach. hence the no jab name. Almost like one of Stephen's marketing names, that.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on my next dog, so I was reluctant to buy one as I already had a decent graphite cane, but figured it as an investment long term, and living in a semi-rural town, the pavements here are not great. It is a little pricey, but it is totally worth it in my opinion, as it really takes the shock out of those awkward pavement cracks, and also works as a shock absorber over bumpy pavements too, so it helps reduce hand-arm fatigue. Won't help you get the tip out from under the fridge, though. He must have had the angle just right to manage that.
I know.
Sean in his local shop. No, no, please don't open the door for me, guys, but if you could just lift your fridge up a little bit, that would be most helpful. Lol. Pedometers and steps. I don't know if this plays a part, but on my phone and watch, I do have an app called Pedometer +++. The +++ symbols after the name are intentional and are a part of the app name, which could be why I get more steps and distance configuration options for watch complications over the regular Apple Health options. I believe it is free, so definitely worth getting this and give it a try. And lastly, for now, have any listeners gotten themselves one of those talking air fryers from Cobalt? I'm still sceptical about all the verbosity, but would love to hear a demo. Cheers, Pete from Oxfordshire, England, UK.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, that's a good point about the talking air fryers from Cobalt. I forgot about those. We should get those guys back on because we didn't hear it last time.
There was no demo. No, because it wasn't quite finalized, I think, when we were talking to them.
No, we did hear it. I can tell you this. We did actually hear it. And it was fine. I mean, it seemed, I don't know why they wouldn't let us hear it on air, but...
It wasn't finished. It wasn't totally nailed down. It may have changed.
I mean, it wasn't saying, oh, I think I'm an air fryer. Maybe grater.
Yes, you know,
it knew what it was.
Yes, funnily enough, there was so much interest about that, but I haven't heard back from anyone who's actually bought one. So, yeah, I'd be interested if anyone's got one and how they're getting on with it as well.
Yeah. No jab cane. That's for you.
My cane goes across my body. I don't have it in front of me. The handle isn't in front of my stomach or chest.
Why is that wrong? Why is the name Aoife Buckley coming to mind? Aoife Buckley, I think, is the person we spoke to.
NCBI.
Yes. Well, yes. Vision Ireland, as it's now called.
Oh, of course. And, sorry.
And she got in touch. Well, we talked about Soundscape, I think. I think I'm right on this.
You are?
That we were talking about Soundscape, and then she came on. And in that conversation, you and I had a bit of a chat with her about orientation and mobility, because that's her role. And, I think we should get Aoife on. I'm going to reach out to Aoife. I want you to learn how to use a cane properly. And I want to do an O&M lesson on the air.
Why? Okay.
I'm going to send you to Ireland.
You feel with the cane. What's there to learn? Oh,
I'm
controversial.
Send you to Ireland and you can have a nice pint of Guinness and learn how to use a cane. Maybe not do that in that order.
Yes.
But yeah.
Okay, you're on.
Thank you for that, Pete. Mark has got in touch about Gmail changes.
Hello, Double Tappers. Earlier this year, Google announced that they will be discontinuing the basic HTML version of Gmail in favour of what they called the standard version. This has caused quite the stir in the community. I have been using the standard view with NVDA, JAWS, and VoiceOver for a number of years now, and it is perfectly accessible. In fact, I prefer it over email clients such as Apple Mail, Outlook, and Thunderbird. That being said, it does take some effort by a screen reader user to use it. For example, one needs to go into the Gmail settings and enable keyboard shortcuts. Windows users will have to toggle between the PC cursor and the virtual cursor in JAWS and browse or focus modes with NVDA. Mac users will not need to worry about that. There are a plethora of keyboard shortcuts that make managing email a very efficient task. Unfortunately for Sean, his technique of using tab for everything will not work. Don't worry, Sean. I still think very highly of you.
Thank you.
With standard Gmail, I can do everything that other email clients can do, such as compose, reply, forward, add attachments, download attachments, and organize folders and labels. I strongly suggest that screen reader users, regardless of their platform, visit the Freedom Scientific Archive of webinars and listen to the ones on standard Gmail. Even a voiceover user will be able to extrapolate loads of good information. While I am not here to defend Google in any way, I will point out that just because something is different and just because that something is requiring some work does not make it inaccessible. Email in general is a difficult type of software to navigate and is far more complex than something like SMS or WhatsApp. While I do empathise with people that having multiple disabilities that may make it difficult to use the standard view, Google made it quite clear that maintaining two separate code bases is just not sustainable. And, like with everything in life, nothing lasts forever. There are plenty of other email providers in the world, and perhaps somebody offers a less feature-rich application that is easier to use. Thanks to Laura for reading this message. Mark, on Miami Beach.
Thank you, on Mark.
Miami Beach.
On Miami Beach. Don't start this again.
He's here on the beach. Oh. Very
I'll
nice.
I'll tell you who's on, you. And who's about to be off soon as well. Listen, thank you for that, Mark. We don't have the time to dive into that, but I do agree with you to a point. I think there are elements of our lives that will change, and we have to be prepared to go with it. But I also know from my own experience as well the frustration that that can bring to people who've, you know, they feel they've got it right, they finally figured it out, and then it changes.
All change.
And that can really throw people. For those of us who are really techie and kind of are willing to adapt, and we know in blind world we do have to be adaptable, it's not always that simple for a lot of people. It's not about multiple disabilities either. It can be just somebody just hasn't got the mental capacity to be able to do it, to make that change. I understand that. I do get it.
Yeah,
but
it is important to say it is accessible.
It is accessible
for screen reader users. It is accessible. It's just a different way of doing it.
Good advice on the Freedom Scientific as well. That's a great place to go, actually. Fantastic webinars. Look, that's it for today. That's it for this week. We're back on Monday. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello, I'm Sean Preece. Join me monthly for Sean of the Shed, where I introduce you to all the technology that can be so useful to us as blind or partially sighted people. Find Sean of the Shed wherever you find all your podcasts.